I am Reese Tisdale, and this is The Future of Water, which we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. This is episode 54, and the Bluefield research team continues to plow through a mountain of analysis and content that is going out the door, even in the dog days of summer in August. So today, I'm joined by my colleague John Berryman to discuss the Senate's recent passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. I guess the name is a little bit misleading and seemingly to appease a couple moderate senators, but the reality of it is, for Bluefield Research and our team, is that it does represent the biggest move by the federal government to address climate change through policies and funding. But not only does it support the energy transition that's been underway for decades for a number of different reasons, which I suppose we can get into, but it also opens the door to new technologies, new business models, and for Bluefield to pivot towards really new opportunities in water. So truth be told, John and I were talking about this and we said, hey, maybe we should just do a podcast on this. It's a good topic. It's in the news. People are interested in it, and it has a lot of fingers into a lot of different industries that is of note. But before we bring John into the conversation, I just want to go through a couple announcements. One, Bluefield's moved offices in Boston. So, hey, if you want to swing by for a meeting, say hello, or just send us holiday cards, you can always check out our new address on the Google, or just go to our website at bluefieldresearch.com and you can find the address and the contact us page and track us down. We're always up for a meeting. Secondly, we have a whole bunch of new data about to hit the Bluefield Data Navigator platform, which is our interactive online portal to showcasing. I think we have as many as 50 dashboards at this point with water data. So upcoming, we've got 750 or so capital improvement plans for municipal utilities, you know, basically categorized in, I want to say, 40 or 50 different categories, not just water, wastewater, and stormwater. State revolving fund project request data, that's coming up pretty soon. We've got stormwater systems in the U.S., over 2,000 systems we've identified, and we've got our quarterly water sector M&A, whether it be investor and utility M&A, but also just water sector M&A as a whole, digital treatment technology company transactions and so forth. And we also have trenchless pipe forecast coming out. I know that's going through production right now, so there'll be a forecast and forecast data associated with that. And lastly, it's that time of year. Another group of Bluefield summer interns, is they're all winding down, headed back to school or on to do whatever they want to do with the rest of their lives. It's been a great, great summer, super productive, and quite honestly, they've been an incredibly professional group. So shout out to the interns scattered about the U.S., but also in Boston. They've been model Bluefield citizens, so thanks to all of them. So everybody in the world knows that they've done a good job, not just for me, but it's been a good summer. So without further ado, let's bring in my colleague John Berryman to talk a little bit about some policy out of Washington, what it means for the water sector.
Hey, Reese. Good morning. Or actually, we normally do these in the mornings, but this is a rare afternoon block. How you doing?
Pretty good. It is. And it's in the afternoon because I was so stressed out about it this morning that I pushed it off. And so, yeah, 3 in the afternoon, Boston time, East Coast time. You're in New York.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's good to catch up.
Throwing us a curveball. Yeah, it is good. It's good. Things are excellent here in New York. Weather's agreeable. Got a little steamy here for a few days. Honestly, I was doing a little bit of internalizing, and I was wondering why I was in a good mood for the last couple of days. Honestly, I think it's still just residue of Arsenal's win over Crystal Palace last Friday in the Premier League season opener. So it just feels right. We're back where we need to be. I think the other side of this is we kind of invest all these emotional chips in things that just don't really matter that much. But it does it for me. I love it.
I think I saw something the other day. It was a headline, is Arsenal for real? I did think of you, but then the reality of it is, well, I guess we can talk about this later in the season.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. And it all comes down to money, of course, but we definitely spent in the summer transfer window. So
everybody is a winner at the beginning of the season.
Right. Right. And if you go by top of the table, it goes in alphabetical order. So at the beginning of the season, Arsenal's first anyway. So it always feels good at the start of the season.
Nice.
Yeah. But let's not bore the listener too much here. We've obviously been talking about doing a podcast on this. The questions come up a few times actually on separate occasions from clients, just basically asking if we could shed some light on this new bill. What does this mean? And I think taking a quick step back, in many ways, what we'd like to be is a compass of sorts for navigating regulatory policies, kind of shifting landscapes, not only just for our clients, but for the industry as a whole. So, I mean, from its title, the Inflation Reduction Act, it's not terribly obvious water's involvement, but I'm thinking maybe you could give us basically an overview, maybe some high-level takeaways and kind of draw those connections for us. How does this pertain to water and what does it mean?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's kind of hard to keep up with what's coming out of Washington these days. There's all kinds of good stuff. And to your point about the Inflation Reduction Act, I think it's a bit of a misnomer on purpose. It sort of slides by everybody, but nonetheless, it still passed by a slim majority out of the Senate. And our expectation is, I think it's going to go forward through the House and the president is going to sign off on it. And there we have it. But sort of to cut to the chase, let's sort of look at it from Bluefield's perspective. And I think I've broken it out in about two or three different ways, maybe four, but in my mentally speaking. So I think the bottom line is, while it's called the Inflation Reduction Act, it's really important because it is such a huge focus on climate concerns, climate change, and the power sector and energy sector, as well as healthcare and other things. So number one is, in my mind, is when it was announced that it had passed or was going to pass, it's really about the power sector shift or energy transition is how we frame it, and others do as well. And it's really a transition in this case, not only towards clean energy, lowering greenhouse gas emissions, but also really towards less water intensive clean energy technologies, at least from the outset. So that is going to accelerate. It's already been happening toward, you know, that transition towards solar and wind, among other technologies, but now it should pick up for a number of different reasons. Number two is that the bill does include some drought mitigation and preparedness dollars. And that was really a last minute throw in by Kyrsten Sinema out of Arizona. But the reality is that the water sector, particularly municipal sector, it really got the big bite of the apple from the IIJ or the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act. So, you know, water is what the direct water dollars, I think we're getting close to $5-6 billion out of this total, is that's sort of mostly played out in other forms, but there is a benefit here. But in both cases, I mean, I cannot say this enough. I know everybody gets excited about this, but this shouldn't be the end. Quite honestly, given the state of infrastructure as a whole, no one wants to hear me talk about Boston, but I'm going to say the train system is terrible. And that is what I would call infrastructure. But that plus water systems need a lot of work. And I think we need to get up on the curve and start spending some money. And quite honestly, it provides a lot of jobs. But also, I'd say, so that's 2 points. That's my second point. The third, kind of to wrap it up, is really the supply chains and what this means for water. And key industrial supply chains, they are really now legitimate addressable markets for water players and companies, whether you're a membrane company, you're a pipe company, or just a broader solutions provider. It could also be digital as well, but as a result, in the way the incentives seem to be set up for this clean energy build out, there are going to be a number of manufacturing facilities in the U.S. that are going to greenfield build in many cases, whether it be mines, whether it be manufacturing facilities that are going to require infrastructure investment. And with infrastructure investment comes water-related investment. And that could be, you know, we talk about roads, right? You know, in the IIJA bill, it's like, what about all this, all these dollars towards transportation? Well, guess what comes with that? Catchment basins, culverts, pipes go along with this. The same is for manufacturing. All these facilities need to be cool, right? You put in HVAC systems, there's water management. Depending on the scale and size, that water that goes in or out of those cooling systems, whether it's reused or not, needs to be treated in some form or another. So it's, there is an opportunity there. And then lastly, within that sort of same bucket and looking at industrial supply chains, a lot of these companies, they're large, they're corporate, but as we know, and we've talked a lot about at Bluefield, is corporate sustainability. It goes hand in hand with the build out. It's not as if, you know, they're going to say, just because we're building, or mining minerals for, clean energy, they still have corporate sustainability targets in many cases. And so that is going to further drive investment and interest in water, because this bill doesn't reduce, definitely in the short term, any climate risks. I think we're going to be living with this for a while.
Yeah. But I think what you said before is important too. I mean, we know this water is being as cross-cutting as it is, kind of plays this role of being a thematic tissue that kind of ties every industry together. So whenever something happens to one, there really always is an impact or an angle to be played. But as you had mentioned earlier, I mean, a lot of the bill really is around power sector. So I want to talk about that for a second. What's the outlook there? What's going to happen? And then where does the water position play?
So admittedly, I'm excited about this. I have a personal interest. Also, you know, our colleagues and partners at Bluefield, we've worked in the renewable energy space in previous lives. So we know a lot of the players, we know a lot of the people, and we kind of have at least a pretty good understanding of how that sector works. But the energy transition has been underway for some time, and we at Bluefield have talked about this. Like, what does it mean with additional renewable capacity being brought online? Well, to give you an idea is, you know, I'm out of the business of forecasting power markets. I'll leave that up to people who are looking at it every day. I'm more interested in the water side of the equation. But one thing we've done is we've looked at power forecasts of, you know, how much wind is expected, how much solar, how much nuclear, how much coal, natural gas for power generation is going to be needed. And just the nature of this transition with wind and solar coming on, that means the power sector is just going to use a lot less water or consume a lot less water. So our forecasts right now show that all things being equal right now, that's about a 33% decline in water usage through over the next little less than 30 years. That's a huge decline, particularly when a number of our clients, those industrial focused clients, are looking at that sector to say, hey, you know, we want to get into the power sector. There's big opportunity there. That opportunity doesn't necessarily disappear. What is happening is the opportunity is transitioning as well. There's a lot happening on the back end of this transition. One, it's not going to just be wind and solar. This bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, in fact, is incentivizing things like hydrogen. It's incentivizing nuclear, really anything clean for that matter. So that happens at the same time, you know, this is all happening while, you know, coal is going to be decommissioned. I mean, I think when it comes to the U.S. power landscape and its generation fleet, that is going by the wayside. It just may happen faster than what was expected. It seems Joe Manchin seems to be okay with this, and given he was a critical piece of this decision. So these declines, and I, you know, to give you an idea of just how much solar is expected through 2030, a compound annual growth rate of 19.5% under a low renewable energy cost forecast. Wind is about 6-7%. But while the big picture is that decline is 33% as it stands today, what it really doesn't fully account for is that if hydrogen comes into play, and hydrogen is going to take 10 to 20 years to build out, well, the raw material or raw input for hydrogen is water. So if it's green hydrogen, you know, we're using, you know, gallons and gallons of water per kilogram. So water demand may sort of dip and then begin to rise again on the back end of this forecast period. That's one aspect. Nuclear, whether you want nuclear or not, I mean, nuclear is incentivized in this. It's clean. It's what we would consider clean tech or clean energy, and it could, you know, demand water as well. But I think more broadly speaking, you know, with all of this, and I guess my last point about the power sector is, with all of this, it gives rise to alternative solutions. It's not just hydrogen, it's not just nuclear, but it's also just things like battery storage, which is a little bit different in the sense that if you're putting batteries to help deal with the intermittency of renewables and manage the power loads and within the grid, which are a significant risk, no doubt, but to manufacture all of those batteries and to mine all the raw materials, whether it be, you know, lithium or cobalt or nickel or whatever is needed, is going to require a significant amount of water and water management, whether that's in Chile or whether that's in Australia or our trade partners. That's a key point of all of this, and not China or in the US for that matter. So this bill is really driving or trying to, I think nationalize might be a big word, but was trying to bring some of this manufacturing capacity to the US, which doesn't exist, which means, it's to my earlier point, greenfield build means more advanced treatment.
That all makes sense. You basically answered a question that I wanted you to kind of talk about the other pieces of this puzzle, but I think it's a good segue, kind of now talking into the global implications that we're seeing here, if there are any.
No, absolutely. I think that's actually a really good, this is not just about the US. I mean, if you're manufacturing in the US, obviously it should and could be a huge market, but scale is a good thing, right? You know, when there's scale for any of these technologies and solutions, and we've seen that, it's demonstrated in wind and solar incentives, whether it be the production tax credit or the investment tax credit, for those two technologies over the past decade have really helped drive down costs. So that benefits the global markets as well. I mean, the hydrogen piece, quite honestly, Europe is further ahead than the US when it comes to hydrogen, but there are no borders on supply chains with few exceptions. And so with that being said, if the market is that much bigger, then companies along the supply chain, whether it be mining companies, whether it be manufacturers, or even just project developers, quite honestly, they're going to feel more comfortable to invest into the markets. And like all of this at Bluefield, we look at water. That means is that as long as there's confidence in those markets themselves, it should give confidence to companies like Evoqua or Xylem or Pentair or Ecolab or any of these companies that play a role in water management. So I think that's a big part of it. I think the other thing is, you know, like I mentioned, a rebirth of nuclear and in growth in new hydrogen markets, new business models. I think that would be another piece that, you know, like I said, you know, crossing borders, international growth, but also will there be an acceleration of any convergence of water power and gas, right? We're already seeing that. You know, one of my fan favorites, NextEra, we've seen that happen, but also NW Natural or Liberty Utilities in the US. I mean, there are companies that do have a presence in multiple, what I would call critical infrastructure sectors, energy and now water. Converging. And then, you know, I think lastly, you know, the global impact, maybe the bigger global impact, and not to be left out of this, is that as long as greenhouse gas reduction takes place, that influences weather patterns, water availability, and flooding. So, I mean, that's really what we're looking for. So maybe I should have started with that as the most important piece, but maybe it's a good way to cap off an answer to that question.
Sure. So this is a different kind of piece here, but it's worth, I think it's worth mentioning for everybody who's tuning in. One thing that was left out of the bill was the carried interest provision. So we do a lot of work with financial investors that are interested in water. We support them through a number of different ways. I can only imagine that this is a good thing for the private equity and the venture capital firms, especially, you know, over the last few months of uncertainty. So I'm wondering if you could shed a little light there.
Yeah, I guess this, it's a good point. And it's something that, I mean, if it had gone through, it would have been probably salt in the wound for financial investors. I mean, I don't want to get out over my skis here, but basically the carried interest loophole or deduction, you know, it treats income flowing into a private fund's, you know, general partner as capital gains, which are subjected to a lower tax rate, you know, 20% for long-term gains, as opposed to the 37% for individual income or investors. So with that being said, what this does is they get to keep that lower interest tax rate. The truth be told is, and I think this is why I'm interested in this somewhat, is that their concerns about recession, it's no secret, right? There's been a lot of uncertainty, whether it be inflation, whether it be Russia-Ukraine and its impact on agricultural markets and energy markets. So M&A as a whole, according to Bluefield, is down so far this year. We're about to wrap up our quarterly M&A analysis. I think we're just waiting on the digital team to pull their numbers together. But even to this point, I just spoke with the private water team looking at utilities just as a benchmark and a strong benchmark for us. And that is the investor in utilities have acquired, I think there have been about 40 acquisitions this year, whereas last year at this point, there were 56 or 57. So the numbers are down, but you can also just go through the list and even reading the news. And it's not just the water sector, it's M&A as a whole. I think just the uncertainty has kind of driven investors to kind of keep their powder dry and to see how things play out. I mean, if anything, and not to be too much of a smartass, I think I can use profanity on the podcast. I guess that's up to us in this case, but they probably should be more worried about the IRS and rather than the than this tax loophole, because that's the IRS just got a bunch of money and they're going to be going after people that make more than $400,000 a year, apparently. So that's my snarky joke of the day.
I think it landed. Anything else on that front?
No, I think, you know, I think it'll be interesting, although, you know, the inflation numbers are starting, there's a lot of mixed messages. We're sort of feels like we're just sitting on a rubber band swinging from one side of the equation to the other. But the reality of it is in our team meeting this morning, you know, the inflation numbers are starting to subside. I think we're getting down to someone mentioned the I haven't seen $4 a gallon. I'd love to see $4 a gallon. I feel like I'm a dollar away from that. So, but I think all in all, and that being said, we're talking about private equity. You know, we're still busy supporting private equity firms and venture capital right now. So it's not as if the well has gone dry by any stretch. I just think that overall, there's this sort of overall, it's like a bit of a cloud hanging over everybody's head. Is it going to rain or not? And, you know, so, hey, it's in the water sector, it is a not terrible because the water market really is strong. I mean, quite honestly, it's been an incredible year between the combination of the IIJA, the, you know, which already passed, the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, and also the CHIPS Act. I mean, you know, when it comes to semiconductors, that's going through. So clean tech overall is in a good spot.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely promising outlook. I think that just about covers it. From my end, it was kind of quick and dirty, but hopefully that at least answers some questions that anybody might have had.
So I guess we'll find out, people will listen to this, whether they look to see how long it is. Maybe that's the good way to get more listeners, but for anybody out there, you can always share it with others. So yeah, this is great. No, I appreciate you sort of taking the opportunity to, like, we sort of flipped the script a little bit. Usually I'm asking questions of people, but this conversation, a conversation led to this, and this is of interest to me. So I appreciate you participating.
No, Reese, thanks for sharing everything.
All right, man. I don't know how we end it, but I guess that's it. Let's call it a wrap, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, man. Take care. All right. That was awesome. I do appreciate John willing to, one, not only raise the idea of a topic, but also jump on and drive that bus. So that being said, before we sign off, please subscribe to The Future of Water and give us a review. That's how we know that you like it. That's how we know that you want to listen. If you have any ideas, just like John's, he and clients are interested in the Inflation Reduction Act. So send us a note at waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas you would like us to discuss. We're doing this for you. Lastly, tell a friend about it. I like friends. I'm sure your friends are great too. So why don't you share a podcast with them and say, hey, this is interesting. And lastly, this podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. To learn more about us, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Be well, be safe, and take care.